Blog Talk Radio.
At the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and I want to welcome the chatters and callers to Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. You can usually join me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will have a wonderful lineup of experts who will share resources, stories, and answer your burning genealogy questions. All of my guests share a deep passion and knowledge of genealogy and history. If you have logged in as a guest and wish to participate in the chat, you can sign in through your Facebook account or Blog Talk Radio. I will also open the lines in the second half of the show so that you can ask questions of the guests. Well, from time, you know, there's some times when I just cannot sit at my computer and conduct my research. Sometimes you have to get on the road and just go to the ancestral home. So today I'm actually broadcasting from location in Louisiana. This is my special road trip, and joining me on this trip is genealogist Stephanie Martin, who is also celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, Stephanie. I'm so glad that you will be joining me today on the trip. Well, I'm so happy that I have as one of our guests, Claude Forrest. Claude Forrest is the president of the Edward Livingston Historical Association, and he is going to share with us resources available in Livingston Parish, as well as talk about the history of Livingston Parish. So I'd like to bring Clark on board. Dr. Clark Flores, are you available?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Well, good morning.
Good morning to you, and welcome to Louisiana.
Well, thank you. Well, Louisiana is the place of my birth, as well as several generations of family members from Livingston Parish. This is on my maternal side. So I am just happy to be back in the state of my birth to conduct research today. Well, why don't you share with us, how did you begin your genealogy research?
Well, I was a late child to my parents that dad was 42 years old when I was born. So the stories that he and mother told about the family, I became interested mostly because I didn't think that they were all true. And of course, as it's turned out, it's the old Ivory Snow commercial. About 99% of them have been true. I have been working in Livingston Parish, of course, being a native, all my life. I was born in 1944, so that makes me 68 years old. unfortunately, on my forest line, which has a connection now with your present state of Maryland, they were from Montgomery County, that I have worked for some time to find his parents. And, of course, as anyone knows that's been involved with genealogy, that you encounter roadblocks and brick walls, and that's one that that I have encountered, and still optimistic, of course. That's one of the characteristics that you have to have when you do family research, is be an incurable optimist. That I, of course, thought when I had exhausted what I think has been all of the paper, you know, resources and documents, that when they came out with the DNA, that that would be the, you know, proverbial silver bullet. But so far, other than a known cousin that we had tested to make sure that we were forest back to our great-grandfather, that we haven't had any high-resolution matches. So it's been a combination of being interested in, you know, history, and, of course, genealogy is a principal, you know, component of history, has stimulated my interest, you know, in the parish. And
well, it definitely sounds like oral history was your beginning, which I would say many genealogists will begin with oral history, and then you try to connect the dots with the document. There's no doubt also that history is very important. You know, sometimes we spend a lot of time gathering paper, and we still don't know a whole lot about the history and the context in which our ancestors live. And so one of the things I'd like you to do is to just help the listeners understand, first of all, exactly where is Livingston Parish located, and also what are some of the unique features about this parish that would help people who have ancestors from Livingston Parish, Louisiana?
That Livingston Parish is located in southeast Louisiana, that it's had been a rural parish between Baton Rouge and Hammond, which is located 65 miles northwest of New Orleans. That if any of your listeners have ever traveled on I-12, that I-12 roughly divides the parish into north south. That it was created in 1832 from the southern portion of St. Helena, which was the one of the original Florida parishes. And of course, the area is still referred to as the Florida parishes, because if you look at a map of the U.S., that you can see the Florida panhandle and Alabama and Mississippi, if you extend it across, that it would meet with the present north boundary of Louisiana. Contrary to a lot of people's opinion, that the Louisiana Purchase was in 1803, they think all of Louisiana was acquired in 1803. However, the Florida parishes remained under the control of the Spanish until 1810, when they successfully revolted against Spanish control, and was accepted after about a 74-day independence. The United States said that they had actually been part of the Louisiana Purchase, but the Spanish remained here, and there are a lot of remnants from the Spanish period in St. Helena, the parent county. The conveyance records that predate the 1810 were written in Spanish. And, of course, when the Americans took over, if you've had occasion to go to St. Helena and explore the courthouse there, someone wrote in the conveyance books, English at last, thank God. So you would have to have some knowledge of Spanish for if your ancestors were in here prior to 1810. And, of course, many of the even English-speaking families were, because the Spanish offered Spanish head rights. And that's when a lot of American settlers from the adjacent states of Mississippi and Alabama, and as far away, of course, as Georgia, moved to the area. And Louisiana, and particularly Livingston Parish, of course, has a similar history as the state. Many folks have described Livingston Parish as a microcosm of the state, in that the southern portion of the parish is predominantly the French, Spanish, German settlers. I tell my French friends that we have the only official French settlement in Louisiana, in Livingston Parish, and of course that's the village of French settlement. The Spanish, of course, had a Spanish settlement, was at Port Vincent, and the name was changed to Port Vincent, but that was originally Spanish. Many of the rivers and streams had Spanish names, that Hog Branch was as close as I could get in Spanish, was Bayou Puerca, was pork or hog. And of course, when the Americans came in, they translated what they thought, that they were hearing. Later we had Hungarian immigrants come at the turn of the century to work in the sawmill industry, at Albany. So we have a Hungarian settlement that's south of Albany, and that was one of the first time that I realized that surnames was a little thumbnail sketch of a person's history, because one of my first off-farm jobs was at the First Hungarian Farmers Association, and the old Hungarians called one of their fellow members, whose name was Mr. Joe Fekete, they would call him Joe Black. And, of course, one day I got him off by himself, and I asked Mr. Fekete, I says, who was a little dark-complected, I might add, I says, Mr. Joe, I says, I noticed that the old Hungarians are calling you Joe Black. I says, is that because you're a little dark-complected? And he laughed. He said, well, that's probably how our family originally got its name, because, he says, in Hungarian, Fekete means black. So a bell went off, and I said, gee, if Hungarian surnames have meaning, maybe, what we consider, American names have meaning. And, of course, unless you speak the language, you would not know, the meaning. But fortunately, there's a three-volume set of books called The Dictionary of American Surnames. So that's the first advice I give to folks after you exhaust your family stories, and which almost always, have some element of truth in them, is to look to see the surnames that you're working on, where they originated, and that'll give you a hint. that one of my favorite Irish Gaelic names is Kennedy. And of course, in Gaelic, Kennedy means ugly head. And of course, my Republican friends always cite the former Senator Ted Kennedy. They say, oh, that reminds me, that was descriptive of Senator Kennedy. So,
why don't you share with us some of the unique research challenges that we may face in Livingston Parish when those of us who come in town want to do some research?
Well, that is a excellent question, Ms. Bernice, is that the brick wall that many people stop at is the fact that the Livingston Courthouse was burned intentionally in 1875. So from the period of 1832 to 1875 is a lost period in terms of any conveyance records, wills, you know, probate, you know, et cetera. And for years, of course, Livingston was a subsistence agricultural parish. It was predominantly a poor farming, and the farmers would subsidize their income with woods cattle and hogs. So there was little time, you know, left for you know, recording family history. And unfortunately, many of the people, even though when they may have came from the East Coast, you know, were illiterate, that having to work the proverbial daylight to dark deprived a lot of the parish residents of an education. So combined with a lack of literacy and the fact that the courthouse burned, so many people just threw up their hands and said that that there was no use, you know, pursuing family history because all the records were destroyed. And of course, you may have encountered this if your family was here prior to 1875. But our purpose that we were fortunate, we had supportive members of the governing body of the parish is called, or at that time during the American Bicentennial, was called the Livingston Parish Police Jury. They supported a publication that we did on the Livingston Parish place names. So that stimulated a interest, and the fact that census publications and genealogy was gaining a following, that more records were becoming available. And of course that prompted us after the American Bicentennial to establish the Edward Livingston Historical Association. And our goal has been to fill in this lost period of the parish's history. And of course, one of the great resources is the U.S. Censuses. And we have been fortunate that we transcribed and published all of the census for Livingston Parish from 1840 up to 1920. And we've fallen a little behind in the 1930. We had hoped to get it finalized before the 1940 was made public. I guess I'm going to have to wait till I retire next month to finish my home ward that the parish subdivisions are called in Louisiana, so that we can get the 1930 one published, because even though there are great resources with you know, Ancestry.com, that it depends on the transcriber's familiarity with the parish surnames, and of course with having residents that you know were French, German, you know, Spanish, and of course those names often are difficult you know to transcribe the one ethnic group that I wanted to mention when we were doing the various settlements. We had a Haines settlement, which was a black community south of Albany and north of Springfield. It is one of the few black communities that was ever shown on Louisiana maps was Haines settlement. So even though Livingston Parish has a small percentage of black residents, in 1860, they had Livingston Parish had the second fewest number of slaves in Louisiana. The only the parish that had fewer was Cameron, and of course it's a low-lying parish in southwest Louisiana that has a lot of low-lying areas that was not conducive, you know, to agriculture. So regardless of your, you know, national origins or ethnicity, you face the same problems as all residents in the parish was with the courthouse burning, that it has made it even more difficult, you know, for us to get you know, information. But every now and then we, you know, being incurable optimists, we find Supreme Court cases that even though the Livingston Court house was burned, that if a case went to the Louisiana Supreme Court, then there's a record. So this is why that we encourage folks, you know, to never give up, to always pursue, you know, various avenues. Even adjacent parishes, and this is why that it is so important to understand, you know, the history and geography of the area that you're researching, is that that Livingston Parish was created from the southern portion of St. Helena. Then in 1869, Tangipahoa was created, and if you look at a map, Tangipahoa is a long parish that goes from the Mississippi-Louisiana state line all the way down to the lakes. And the reason it was created, of course, was after the Civil War. It was a Reconstruction parish. And by then, the railroad was dominant. And prior to the creation of Tangipahoa, the folks that owned land and the railroad would have to get off the train and either go to the St. Helena Courthouse in Greensburg or to the Livingston Courthouse in Springfield. So they decided to create a parish that took portions of St. Helena, Livingston, St. Tammany, and Washington. And, of course, Washington Parish is another burned-out parish. But if your ancestors lived in that, you know, area that was incorporated into Tangipahoa, you will have records in Tangipahoa. And, of course, many folks that are just beginning their research often see the references to Livingston records in Tangipahoa and assume that all of the records, you know, were saved and moved there. But that's not the case. It's only that southeast portion off Livingston that they took those records and, of course, transcribed them and moved them to a meet. And
also seen similar records in St. Helena Parish.
Oh yes, ma'am.
Individuals resided in Livingston Parish.
Right, and often if of course, before the creation of Livingston, that's where the records would have been recorded. And if the people were in the northern portion of Livingston Parish, they often recorded legal papers in St. Helena. So always look at adjacent you know, parishes. We have found records, and St. Tammany's records are complete from even the English period, when the British, with British West Florida, they have records that date back to the British period there in Covington at the St. Tammany Courthouse. So you don't want to overlook adjacent parishes that particularly if the families were large landowners, they often would mortgage properties either in East Baton Rouge or in St. Tammany. So you can often find information on Livingston in those parishes.
Okay, and with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back on and continue to talk about Livingston Parish. Quick break, okay?
Thank you.
National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Claude Forrest, president of the Edward Livingston Historical Association. We are also waiting on our next caller, and perhaps she won't be able to call in, and that's Ms. Iris Billy. She is the head of the newly opened Livingston Parish Library, and I will actually be a mystery guest. I guess I'm not so much a mystery after all at the Edward Livingston Historical Association's meeting tonight at the new library. So perhaps Forrest can share a little bit information with us about the library. Well, let's go back to what you were telling us about the various places we should search. Now, you said that should perhaps look in St. Tammany Parish as well as St. Helena Parish. What about Ascensia Parish? Is that a parish we should also look at?
Oh, definitely. And thanks for reminding me, because if you have families in that area that was a portion of Ascensia Parish that was incorporated into Livingston, the Head of Island area with that's adjacent to the Amit River. So you definitely want to look into Ascension. And of course, if the families were Catholic, the Catholic archives, the Catholics were meticulous record keepers, and it's almost no fun doing Catholic genealogy, because in the past, when the bride and groom married, the priest would record not only the parents of each, but also the grandparents. So if you're fortunate enough to find one of those records, you can get three generations and some excellent leads. But I often tell my friends that if there's anything you don't want to, find out, don't start the research, because the Catholic priests, as well as almost all others, would note whether if it was a birth, whether the birth, was legitimate or illegitimate, or as the old timers would say, whether the child was born out of wedlock. The other source is the state archives here in Baton Rouge is one of those, you know, must stops that they have a lot of records, and particularly death records that are over 50 years of age are available publicly. So you would, if you had a long-lived, you know, ancestor, this often gives you, you know, their parents. So you would want to check those records. And of course, if you're a direct descendant, you would be able to acquire more recent death certificates. Another source that's often overlooked because it's it requires a tedious research is the state land office. While the Livingston Courthouse burned, you will be able to find the original land claimant in the state land office. So if your ancestor was a original claimant either from the state government or from the federal government, you can often get some excellent leads because there were a lot of what were called, you know, bounty land warrants that if they were if they served in the various wars, they were entitled to a land script. And of course, one of the famous battles was the Battle of New Orleans. In which we know that General Jackson used the pirate the Lafitte brothers that when he was facing the British, he had units there that were free blacks, that he had slaves that were enrolled in the war effort. And while he couldn't free them, he could do the next best thing. He could give them land script. So we had a lot of black property owners that moved across the lakes from New Orleans to claim land in the area that is now Tangipahoa. Now, all of the slaves didn't support the American war effort and were forced into the British effort or willingly joined. They are estimated to be like 5,000 black slaves that that when the British withdrew, they took with them to the New England states and to Canada. So while I've never documented anyone, you know, from Livingston Parish, you know, having joined, that that's a area that you would want to, you know, pursue. I do know that there were a lot of troops, you know, from the Florida parishes, the 13th and 14th Consolidated Regiment was primarily composed of folks from Livingston and the, well, what became Livingston, it was St. Helena then, and the Florida parishes. So you would want to look at military records. The goal is to, when you're looking for those elusive ancestors, you don't want to overlook or take anything for granted, and that's why that historical societies are so useful. That you know, we have a regional group at Southeastern that takes a more historical approach to their research, but it's like any effort. You start as you noted with the oral history with the family, and when you exhaust that, you move you know to the next local level that we have a French settlement, historical society that's, as the name indicates, is primarily looking at their area and their ancestors. We have a Hungarian historical association, so that we have a Carter Plantation Foundation, which has a unique history in that the original owner was Thomas Freeman, and you may gather from his name, he was a free man of color. His manumission papers are in what is now West Virginia. You never know what lead is going to take you. It's the old adage about it's a web that is weaved. So you have to look at all of the strands.
You certainly do. And one of the questions that I'd like to find out, have you found any of your members who have personal records that they have shared with the association and or sent those records to a special collection at one of the universities?
Yes, ma'am. That's another great question. As we mentioned, Southeastern has a archives. The Louisiana Genealogical Society in the past has been and still is an excellent recorder. While the families often are reluctant to part with the family Bible, that was one of the items that. I was able to connect with was Miss Irene Reed Morris, was a longtime genealogist from Tangipahoa, and she was president of the Louisiana Genealogical Society, and one of their tasks was to record family Bible records, and she recorded a family Bible that was on my Hutchison line. So even though the courthouse burned, the family Bible was intact and was owned by someone who was unbeknownst to me, that we knew that the family had came from Georgia to here from oral tradition. And they were a family that came here during the Spanish occupation and had Spanish grants, or either said they did. And in the family Bible, when it was in Georgia, someone had entered our ancestors' note to Benjamin Hutchison's name, went west. Well, when I was growing up, my concept of west was Texas and beyond. But of course, if you're in Georgia, Louisiana was west. So you would want to explore all of the state publications such as the Louisiana Genealogical Society. The archives has a publication that you would want to check and perhaps subscribe to, and of course the Louisiana History again from its title. Their interest is primarily history, but of course, families constitute the history. So these are items that you would definitely want to pursue.
Well, why don't you just share with us a little bit more about the Edward Livingston Historical Association? How frequently do you meet? What are some of the activities you've been involved in? And what's the benefit of being a part of this association?
Well, my wife says that misery loves company. That you have kindred souls, and of course we share stories and exchange information, and we meet almost monthly, the third Thursday of each month at 6 o'clock at the Livingston Parish Library in Livingston, and we're very pleased that you've agreed to join us this afternoon. So we try to periodically have speakers that that share their expertise and interest, and we publish a quarterly publication called the Elegram, and in that we try to do just what you have noted. If folks have family information, if they have Bible records, old letters, anything that would be of interest to other readers, that we ask that they transcribe those and let us publish them. And we've been very fortunate in that, membership is $10 for individuals for a year and $15 for families. And you can send that to ELHA for Edward Livingston Historical Association at P.O. Box 67, Livingston, Louisiana, 70754. And we'll put you on the mailing list. And we also, for folks that have emails, we try to notify them by email. And then we have a annual meeting that we reverently refer to as our eating meeting in December. That is our annual membership meeting. So that for folks that have any interest in history, and particularly of Livingston Parish, it's a good venue to exchange the problems that you've encountered, or if you've been successful to share those. And
I'm sure that your Edward Livingston Historical Association has a large history book that was completed many, many, many years ago. Do you have any plans to update this history book?
Oh, yes, ma'am. If we can get enough members who are interested, that we've had folks that did not include their families originally in the publication, and we're constantly gathering those stories, and we periodically publish them in the Elegram, which serves as a good vehicle for other people to comment and review, and to edit if there's any errors before we would publish it in book form. But that is a goal that it took a tremendous amount of effort, but that was one of our proud accomplishments, because of course, as you noted, that it dated back to the 1980s, and of course many of the folks that contributed stories are no longer with us, but the written record is. So that's why it is so important to commit something to writing.
Absolutely. Well, now I know that you are excited about the new Livingston Parish Public Library. Why don't you tell us about some of the genealogy resources that are available at the public library?
Oh, definitely. That we are extremely pleased with all of the branches, and of course the last one was the main branch to be constructed in the town of Livingston, and they have generously agreed to house our genealogical collection, and we hope to continue. We encourage members to donate books that they are no longer using, or in my case, I can find them easier at the library than I can at home. So I try to those books that I finished with, donate them to the library, and we're in the process of getting Mr. Murray, Mr. Mrs. Nick Murray, was a longtime Mormon genealogist, and they had transcribed all the marriage records in Louisiana, and we're in the process to commemorate one of our deceased members to honor Miss Lucille Denham Cooper to acquire a set of those, and of course the library has a subscription to the ancestry.com, and I go there to use their subscription rather than purchase one on my own, because my wife says I'm addicted and I wouldn't go to bed, because I think that, like most genealogists, if I just check one more record, we'll find that elusive, ancestor. So
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. It is hard to close your eyes and go to bed when you know that resource is right there in front of you.
And that yes, ma'am.
Advice for people who are brand new, they live out of town, but they have ancestors from your parish. Just maybe give us two or three tips you would like to share with them so that they can begin their search in your parish.
Oh, that the first thing that they would want to do is, of course, is gather all the information from their family, and then with the 1940 census just being made public, that would be one of the areas that they would want to work, backwards, and of course to contact our association, because we publish queries in our Elegram, and by contacting us and publishing it, we may know of someone that is working on that line, or has suggestions, and it's the old adage, about if a picture's worth a thousand words, what an actual visit, is worth. That we have at the library transcription of Dr. George Calmer's diaries. He was a early British-born physician that practiced in Springfield. So if your family was in that area of Livingston Parish, it's possible that information on your family is recorded there. So these are the type of resources you may not be aware of unless you contacted us or made a personal visit to the parish.
That's right, and that personal visit just means so much, because you are there in the ancestral place where your ancestors walked. And so your right to make that visit is something that all researchers should consider doing, not just Louisiana, but wherever your ancestors are from. Also, what about the courthouse? Now, I understand that the courthouse, although records did burn, they do have records at the courthouse.
Yes, ma'am, that there were a few records that were re-recorded after the 1875 fire. And, of course, you had relatives that filed a will, right after 1875, you will have information, that predates the burning of the courthouse. And your point about regardless of where your ancestors were from, the same techniques that we were discussing about Livingston Parish, would apply to them, and you are certainly made a correct statement that it's important to visit your ancestral home because it just it means so much to you. You can watch the shows Who Do You Think You Are, or Professor Henry Louis Gates' Finding Your Roots, and many of the guests on his program goes back to their ancestral roots. I had the opportunity several years ago to go to County Louth in northern Ireland, where my Irish ancestor Anne Sharkey was from. They settled ultimately after they landed in New Orleans in St. Helena, and there was a town called Irish Town because so many of the Irish families went there, the Sharkeys, the Dernans, the Murrays. So when I went to County Louth, that it was amazing the similarity between the County Louth and St. Helena, that you could see why that they chose you know, to settle, because they were predominantly farmers, and St. Helena no doubt reminded them of their area that they had immigrated from. So these are the, if there's any way, you know, possible to visit the area, that I had to go to New Jersey to find out why my Hutchison settled along in Louisiana, in Paintsville Parish, along the Natalbany River, is that our distant cousin Richard took us to the farm that they were that they had owned there on Rocky Brook Creek, and he just made a passing remark. He said, "You know why they were here?" And I said, "No." He said, "They were millers." I said, "Millers." He said, "Yes, they had a grits mill." And then, of course, the proverbial light bulb goes off, because when they were in Georgia, they were on the Oconee, and when they migrated to Livingston, they were on the Natalbany River. I may have, you know, gleaned that from something, you know, Richard had written, but there was nothing like, you know, being there and seeing, you know, the creek and envisioning the you know, the grits mill. So these are you know, items that that make genealogy, you know, and geography and, you know, culture come alive, is that when you find a reference in a will to Robert Hutchison owning a grinding stone, then you make the connection to, oh, that was the you know, the grits mill. So it's a never ending journey, as you know.
It certainly is a never ending journey. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Clark Forrest, for sharing this wonderful information on the resources in Livingston Parish, Louisiana. And remember, everyone, your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you should follow the clues that are presented to you through oral history, family records, research at the National Archives, and beyond. And that beyond means visiting your ancestral home. So I want you to feel free to post your comments and questions on afrogenius.com. And also remember to tune in to the African Roots podcast with Angela Walton Raji tomorrow. Now, my road trip does not end in Louisiana, so please join me on May 24th as I travel to Memphis, Tennessee, to interview my special guest, Tina Sanson, for a discussion of resources in Tennessee. So I'd love to continue to talk, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining me today. Stephanie Martin and I are on our way. We're heading to the courthouse. And thank you very much, Dr. Clark Forrest, for joining research at the National Archives and beyond. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. Have a great day, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. Yay! Thank you.
You are welcome. That was very informative.
Thank
and
you.
We'll see you this afternoon.
That's right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.